Without further ado, we have had a phenomenal summer this year of having a whole bunch of just godly men speaking, and today is no different. We have a man of God coming to share his heart, share the word. So if you guys would, please welcome Pastor Mitch up to spring a word for you guys.
Thank you, J-Dub. I so appreciate all that you do, wherever he went. You know, taking care of ministry for a generation that is emerging is tough. It's a tough calling. And I think he does it and wears that mantle as well as anybody I've met. And I can just see how the kids love him and Kayla. And it's really, we're real blessed to have them here, and I look forward to see what happens in the next season with them. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mitch Stroda, and my wife and I moved here a little over a year ago. We have two kids at home, and then we have some friends here from Palestine, Pablo and Adriana, that came up. And we are very grateful to have found Pathway, and it's been a, you know, one of those, we don't know how we got here kind of things, but here we are. We didn't know Pathway existed, and we walked in, and this was the place. We went to several churches in town. There's some great churches in town, but I think there's something unique about us here that is, I know it's what my heart longs for, because my heart does long for revival. That's kind of been the, I mean, my whole life has been ongoing experiences with Jesus that have help me get out of problems and cause me to change and be and do things that I didn't know that I could do. And I think that's probably supposed to be the normal. But then as I get out here and I realize that not everybody, it's not that same way. And it just hurts my heart. I just long for you to experience Jesus in a way that you're altered, you're changed, you're transformed. He is the better part. And we are so privileged the way Pastor Marty has things structured in staff is that really it's, we want Jesus and we want people to experience Jesus, and they're willing to rip out walls or build a building, whatever it takes so that someone else can experience Jesus. And so again, that's a little bit. For those who don't know, I've been in ministry for 25 plus years, and was pastor first season, associate pastor, worship pastor, overhead projector guy. Do you guys remember those overhead projectors? That's that poor guy who invented that is just on the shelf. But we were singing this song, and this kind of, there's a lot of things that go off in my mind when getting ready to come up, but that song we're singing, Holy Spirit, Blow On Through. I've been privileged to be able to travel and minister in several nations, multiple nations. And I was invited to go to Taiwan with a friend of mine who's an apostolic guy. They've planted 400 plus churches, and just an amazing man of God. And sometimes I don't know how I get connected with some of the people that I do. And so he invited me to come with him and some other pastors. And so we go to this church, and he said this about this church. He goes, there's nothing like it. He goes, in all my experiences, which he has a lot, he goes, this is one of the top seven of presence experience churches that I've ever been in. And I go, well, what do you mean by that? He goes, oh, you'll just have to experience it. So anyway, so we go, you know, we're doing a conference and several services. And this is, there's probably about 400 or 500 people that go, and it's in a parking garage. So one of the sections in a parking garage, they made it into a church. Because, you know, Taiwan's just so, everything's so compressed. And so it's this level of a parking garage, and they got these padded floors in there, kind of like wrestling mats in there on the floor. And before the worship team starts, the people are already there. They're already singing. It's just a roar. So you walk in, it's a roar, and the service hasn't even started yet. And then it's like the people actually, I think, led the service. It's like, it's crazy. It's like this roar that would come out of them, and then the worship team kind of blends in with it. And it's like, wow, this is different. And my friend Will Carlson, he goes, just wait. And then I don't remember how long into the service it happened, but all of a sudden you can just feel everything shifted. And this presence comes into the room, and it literally was like a mighty rushing wind. It was invisible, but it would come, you could feel it coming. You know, like the only way to describe it is, you know how in a stadium they do the wave, you know? And someone over here starts it and everybody goes, you know? And that anticipation comes just before you're the wave guy. And it's kind of like that's the way it was. It's like you're just sitting there and all of a sudden, and this rush, and literally we would sway. We'd go, as this wind of God would come through. And it would just go back and forth. It would just like swirl around. And I know right now some of you don't have a slot for that. I didn't have a slot for it either. I don't have a slot for myself, so it's okay. But, I mean, there's so much more to this God experience than we've experienced. And around the world, a lot of times you see things in different. That's one thing I'm blessed with is to be able to see the kingdom of God work in multiple cultures, whether it's Latin America or it's like Jesus is the same. And then the way ministry happens in other places is different. And so that's why it's so dangerous to go, it's this way. It's just this way. It's like, well, let a wave of wind blow through you and then see if it's still this way. And so, you know, I never experienced that again. Besides that, I want to go back. Oh, it was so good. It's like this wind of peace and joy. Oh, it's so wonderful. You know, that thing is about Jesus. Jesus' presence is amazing. He is so amazing. And so Pastor Marty wanted me to share a word that I shared with the staff on a Tuesday morning. And so I'm going to jump in here. If you want to stand, let's read a verse here. So honor the word of God. Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Before you sit down, let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the word of God, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit who communicates. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. We can do some, but you explain it all. And you reveal to us Jesus. And Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today? Lord, we're not all in the same place. We have different things going on in our life. There's some that need healed. There's some that are frustrated. There's some that are dealing with things in their family. Lord, there's just all kinds of levels of need here today. But Holy Spirit, you're the one that can address them all. And we thank you. Whether it's a quiet wind or a strong wind, we just thank you, Holy Spirit. You are blowing through this service today. And we just recognize that you're here in Jesus' name. Don't sit down yet. I want to read this verse again. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want you to do this. I want to take your hand. Put your hand out, one of your hands. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is available. It's this close. It's near. That's what they said. The kingdom of heaven is this. Look at your hand. It's not very far away. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciples is, when you go out, I want you to walk like the kingdom is here. And this is the way I like to describe the kingdom of God. That, number one, God is good. Number two, God is love. Number three, God is powerful. And number four is God is here. That's what this verse says, is that God is good, God is love. We all agree. God is powerful. But the best part is he's here. He's here. So what he wants us to do then is actually demonstrate that how close it is. He wants people to know he's here. And I don't know if it's a great interpretation, but it says the kingdom of heaven is a hand. I know what a hand is. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your hand and put it on two people and say, the kingdom of heaven is here. Can you do that for me? Just put your hand on somebody. You don't have to be an expert at it. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right. You can go ahead and sit down. That's good for you right there. So, in this series about summertime revival, revival is my jam. Can you say that? Is that still cool, Pablo? Pablo checks him out. We've done ministry for years, and so he kind of keeps me up to date because he's cool. I haven't been cool for 20 years, so I have to check in every once in a while. I did get some new pants, though. I'm telling you, you probably don't have a slot for me. I don't have a slot for myself. But when we're talking about revival, as someone who tries really hard I want people to experience Jesus. I want people to experience the kingdom of God. I don't want you to live in the cycle of believing and never seeing. It's torment. To have right doctrine and not a matching experience. And if you don't have right doctrine, you came to the right place because Marty will straighten you out. So I love Pastor Marty. There's a clarity he preaches with that is so refreshing. But I want to define for you revival. And I believe that it's biblical, but it's my definition. This is the way I would define revival. And it's based on this verse, but it's as simple as this. It's seeing what you say. As you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then demonstrate what you're saying. To not just say it. Anybody can say it. That's what we do. This Sunday morning church, we're saying stuff all over America today. But really, the question is, what are we seeing? I want you to see what we say. I'm frustrated, aren't you? When I hear revival, hear the word revival, hear healing, and then it's like, when are we going to do it? And so I got so sick of my saying it. For 2 years, I hated my own preaching. It's really bad when you don't like your own preaching. And I just got to, like, I am just tired of saying and not seeing. And so what I started doing was, especially in Latin America, I had a long, real strong run in Latin America. And so I would just show up. I have messages. I always got messages. Ron, we have messages, don't we? There's always something you can dial up somewhere. But I'd have them in my back pocket, but that would not be my go-to. And so I would just let them do whatever they're going to do in the service. And when they turned the service over to me during worship, I would just wait on the Lord and just all right, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? And a lot of times he'd come, it'd be a very light little touch, and he'd come, and he would just kind of touch different parts of my body. And so I'd start with, is there anybody here that has this, or anybody here that has this? They call them words of knowledge. And by the way, Jesus doesn't need words of knowledge, we do. We're the ones that have faith issues, not him. And so it's really, all I needed to do was go far enough into that service where it's almost the strangest thing. The only way I can describe it, it's like a door that opens, and that wind, maybe not a blue like it was in Taiwan, but he enters the room, and we begin to experience. And these services would go on for hour and a half of just miracles after miracles. It's crazy to see lots of growths and tumors, breast cancer. I remember one kid came up to me. I met him in the parking lot in Honduras, and he came up to me and goes, "You remember me?" And I said, "No, sorry, I don't." And he goes, "Well, when I came to you," so this was after being there maybe 6 months earlier. He goes, "I was the kid that had this rash all over my body." And he came, I remember, and as soon as he said that, I knew exactly, because he came up to me right at the end of the service, and he goes, "Can you pray for me?" And he had this the strangest looking stuff, and it was like a scaly red thing. It was all across, he pulled up his shirt, it's all across his chest, going up his neck. He said it's all down his legs. He says the doctors can't figure out what it is, and they think it's some form of cancer. And he says, "You prayed for me, and look at me, I'm completely, completely healed." I mean, that's a good wow moment right there. Let your mind right now just kind of adjust to, whoa. Because that's part of our problem, is we've not seen so long that when we do hear, I can't go there. Man, I've seen miracles and my mind literally can't go there. I can't fathom what I just saw. And so I just want to say it because there's so much more available. It's right here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's so much more available than what we've experienced. And I can tell you one more time, but really the goal is for this to experience what we're saying. And that's why we're going this direction. Again, this is a movement. We're going to go as far as we can. Sunday mornings are very difficult anywhere in the world. I guarantee you. It's the same. I'll run into the same thing. Everybody gets hungry. But the Latinos eat at 2. So that gives you about another hour longer than you get here. But there's some things that I think that hinder revival, and we're not going to talk about them because we'll just go there anyway. But I want to share some things that I believe that are helpful to increase, because I don't want a service. I believe the Lord has kind of helped us find pathway, because I like where pathway's going. And I love Pastor Mark and Pastor Marty and the rest of the staff. It's like, I like these guys. And I want Pathway to be a destination where people come to experience what it says. This is what it says. I want to experience what it says. There's lots of places I can hear it said again, but I need Jesus. I don't know about you. Life will slap you up and down. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, wow. I got lots of time. Verse 2. Very strange verse. I don't know why it's in there, but it's in there. And it says this: "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." Okay? "For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Or this one says unwittingly. I like the word unaware better. Two things quickly. Number one, be nice to people. It's a good practice. But the reason why, according to this verse, you're supposed to be nice to people is because some have entertained angels. Isn't that weird? You got a slot for that one? Well, of course, you read your Bible. There's angels, right? We know there's angels. There's angels here right now. I don't see them. They could be here. They could be over here. Could be, I don't know. I know biblically by faith, this is by faith we understand. So I can go there. It's like, okay. Well, the instruction in this verse is you are supposed to be nice to people because they are entertaining a spiritual reality and they don't know it. Every person has a spiritual reality that is around them, probably sometimes in them, and that they don't know it. They're unaware. But evidently, the reason why it's in there is it's an instruction. Hey, people of God, hey, believers, when you meet people, you need to be aware of the spiritual reality that is around people. That's what ministry really is. It's a spiritual dynamic. And remember, we got this. I got one of these. And there's a spiritual reality. And backing this thing up is the whole kingdom of God. It's all true. I've been in this long and it's all true. I may not experience fully, but there's more than I've experienced. There's probably more than you probably experienced more than me. I don't know. I mean, the good news, what I like is young people because they seem to go to the front of the line. A revival in young people, oh my goodness. Holy Spirit getting hold of young people. You know what happens? And I think, Ron, you could probably testify to this because I know you talked about your boys, but revival usually produces the next generation of leaders. That there are young people in these meetings where they're encountering God and they become, I know the Jesus movement was that way, that some of the greatest pastors in our nation's history came out of the Jesus movement when Jesus was moving all over California. And I guess it was so strong. I have had friends that lived in that day and got saved out of that. It was so strong that literally no matter where you went, you couldn't run away from God. He was at the end of every road. And these, they called them hippies. You're all cleaned up now. Got a little bit shorter hair. But, you know, they just wanted freedom and love and sex and rock and roll. And next thing you know, they're leading worship on the beach, encountering Jesus. One of the greatest movements in church history was the Jesus movement. I believe we're in that kind of awakening right now, where there is something stirring that is, there's nothing political, there's nothing can stop a move of God. Because if you get close enough, you will catch fire. It's just God. And so I say that, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again because I want to see it. I want that to be the new normal. I'm grateful for our normal. I wish it was sometimes different. We have to start someplace, and I all of us are in that kind of transition. But I believe one of the keys to getting there is this word aware, learning to be aware. The word aware means to be alert, to be attentive, to be observant, open-eyed. I like that one, open-eyed. I used to do one-eyed miracles. You know, the kind you pray for the sick and you close your eyes real tight and then you open one eye to see if something happened? I didn't see too many one-eyed miracles. It's kind of like you just squeeze, if I squeeze my eyes tight enough, please God, something will happen. But really, the real key is being open-eyed, is learning how to be aware. Beware of the presence of God. Be aware of what's happening with the person you're praying for. And I have a lot on that that I share. But the opposite is this: is these people that are unaware. It says they're oblivious, they're unconscious, they're unmindful. There's people who walk around just oblivious. Now, it's not supposed to be you and I. I mean, really, we're the ones that are supposed, we've been given the mandate to be aware. We're the ones that carry the kingdom that's right here. So it's our role to help people to become aware of what's happening around them. Here's an encounter that Jacob had in Genesis chapter 28. And this is where Jacob, he was on his way to find a wife, and he'd already cheated his brother out of his birthright. And so obviously that's probably weighed heavy on his mind, that he's really, really a rascal. And so he's traveling, and he comes to this place, and he's really, really tired. And you know he's tired because he pulls up a rock for a pillow, and you know you're tired. I've never been that tired. I would never choose a rock. So he pulls a rock up, and it says he falls asleep. And while he's sleeping, he has this encounter with the Lord. And he sees angels. He has a dream of angels ascending, descending, going up and down. How many believe in angels? It's a reality, isn't it? It's a spiritual reality. Have you experienced? I don't know, but you can. And so he has an open-eyed experience. It's a dream, but it's still, we know it was significant because he was changed. Because he wakes up, and this is what he says. He awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven." He's talking about a rock. He went from a place, "The Lord is in this place, but I don't know it. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. I didn't know." I mean, that's when I got saved. I got saved when I was 20 years old out of a life of drugs. And I had this encounter with the Lord. I mean, I knew I was going to heaven, had all kinds of demonic stuff going on, and I knew I was going to hell. And it's like, man, if hell's real, heaven's real. If heaven's real, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. I need Jesus. And I called upon Jesus, and Jesus came down, and he spoke to me. The Lord is in this place. I didn't know it, but now I know it. And he spoke to me, and he took his finger, and he thumped me on the chest. "You'll never do drugs again." Completely delivered from a lifestyle every day. I mean, that's an encounter. That's an encounter with the Savior. That's an encounter with the Lord. And it evidently worked. I'm still doing it. So it didn't mean I didn't know how to do it. I mean, that's why we have to be great, have grace for people while they're figuring it out. I didn't get here overnight, but my eyes were open. And it's all real. It's all true. And that's what we go so many times from this place of not being aware to being aware. It's the same place. Some of you came in this morning, man, you're aware. Some of you came in here this morning, you're not aware. But hopefully everybody has underwear. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that one. So I want to talk just a little bit about this process because this is what changes us. Because I think we can learn to be aware. I think we can learn. I think we learn how to experience Jesus. I think that's what worship is probably for. You know, Jesus doesn't need our worship. God doesn't need our worship. I think we need to worship. And that the process of worship is one of the ways that God helps you become more aware. And so that's what we want to do today, is we want to be with Jesus, want to be more aware. And so, you know, we come in, but we all wake up in the morning pretty similar, and we have, we're aware, but just not of the right things. So I wake up, and depending on whether I get second sleep or not, I sometimes wake up really early. If I get second sleep, second sleep is when I fall back asleep after I couldn't sleep for a couple hours. And second sleep is like the deepest sleep. And then I cannot wake up from second sleep. And it's like I'm like on another planet. And then I have to take a bus and a motorcycle to get back to Earth. And I wake up and I'm so groggy. I mean, I'm so tired. I can't even think straight. And so I get up and I am not very aware of Jesus in those moments. Typically, most moments, most mornings, I'm not. And so what I'm aware of more than anything is me. I wake up aware of Mitch. I wake up like you wake up aware of you. I'm not aware of you. I got enough going on. I'm aware of me, and I'm tired. And I'm telling myself how tired I am. And so I am so tired that first conversation I have with myself is that you need a cup of coffee, at least one, if not more. And so I go in. I'm still, as I go in to get oriented for the day, get my coffee ready, where's Jesus? I'm not aware. I'm not aware. Sometimes maybe magically I wake up in his presence, or I don't know, but that's not my normal. I wake up very unaware. And then let's just say it's Sunday morning and we have church to go to. And so my wife wakes up, and we know the rules around the house is no one talks. You're not allowed to talk to somebody until a certain point of time. Is am I the only one? It's like there's an unspoken rule. Don't talk. And so you have to have coffee first, and then someone has to breathe in that right way so you know it's okay to speak now. And so, because she's aware of her. And so she's aware of her, I'm aware of me. And then as we wake a little bit more up, maybe she always opens her Bible first thing. I'm usually just kind of praying. And so maybe we're a little bit aware, but mostly, for the most part, most of my prayer times are pretty dry. Maybe after 10 o'clock they're better, but I mean, I don't always just jump in deep in the morning. Do you? Okay, let's just assume you don't. Okay, let's just assume we're human. Anybody else human here? Are you an angel? Okay. All right, so now we're going to church, and now we have kids and everything else. It's amazing how much of a bad mood you can get into if you're not careful on the way to church. Doesn't matter if it's your kids. I mean, there's always something that's pushing your button so that when you see that first person in the parking lot and you say, well, how you doing? Bless you. You're like, hey, I'm going in there. I don't know about you. I always need to go in there, this place. I need church. And so now I go to church and I'm wanting Jesus. I do love him. I loved him all morning. I just not very expressive. And so I'm glad I don't have to do a revival yet. It's just like I just need Jesus. And so I kind of walk through the crowd, and then I come in and I sit. And then they come in, and then the worship team comes out, and they start playing. And man, that first song just beats the tar out of me, you know, because we used to call them burner songs when I was a worship leader. It's like that first song, we don't want it to be the burner song, but no one's going to worship because it's their waking up. So you do a song that wakes everybody up. And so I'm here, and they start the song. And, come on, Mitch, wake up. Come on. We love Jesus. Remember, we love Jesus. Yeah, amen. Yeah, all right, yeah. And the second song comes up, and it's a little bit better. I start kind of, maybe I'm warming up a little bit, get loosened up a little bit. But then there's that moment on the third song. We do three songs. Sometimes they other churches do more, but boy, there's just something magical about that third song. And all of a sudden, oh, Jesus, he's here. He's here. And my heart connects with him, and I my senses come alive. It's like, Lord, I love you so much. It's like, oh, then the real me starts coming out. The real me starts worshiping. The real me starts experiencing the one in whom I believe in. But here's the problem with this scenario is Jesus was here when I woke up in the morning. Jesus was here. It says he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always with us. So Jesus is always with me. He's with me when I got my cup of coffee. He's with me when I was not talking to my wife. He was with me when I was in the car. He's with me when I got to church. He's with me during the first song. He was with me during the second song. But then it's like we have this mentality that Jesus is like a jack-in-the-box Jesus. It's like, you know the jack-in-boxes. I know some of you are looking at me like, what the heck is a jack-in-the-box? But me and Ron know what a jack-in-the-box box is. You know, it's a little puppet in a box, and then you turn the little crank. Up pops Jesus. Is that somehow we think that Jesus just pops in because he likes the third song. No. Jesus was with me before I got here. Jesus was with you when you were in the car. Jesus was with you. What changed is your awareness of him. I like to say it this way. We don't have a presence problem. We have an awareness problem. And learning to be aware of him, aware of the one whom your soul loves, knowing that you're going to battle, the first thing you're going to battle is your awareness of yourself. But that's the great thing about faith. You can overcome that because you believe, because you've heard what they said. He's here. You know why I keep worshiping through two dry songs? It's because I know he's here. And I'm looking for him. I want to be with him, and I'll overcome whatever stuff's going on in my mind, whatever stuff's going on in my flesh, that I could be with him one more time. Because there's something about being with him that makes everything better. The goal's him. He is revival. The rest of it is what happens when he's here. Our job is to remind you again that he is here. And you might not be feeling him because you're tired like Jacob. You've walked, you've fought, you've crawled into this place because of life. And it's not going to be easy for you, but I have a great verse that's the solution for this. It says this in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in his name, I am there in the midst of them. I used to think that this was kind of like the same thing of popping a jack-in-the-box kind of thing too. It's like, you know, or two or three gathering his name, there he is. No, what happens is where two or three gather in his name, it's easier to be aware of the one you're looking for. I need you. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it without your worship. I can't do it without you sitting next to me and putting your hand on my shoulder. I can't do it because life is hard and life gets heavy. And sometimes you're really sick, really sick. But you still come. You still show up because you believe he's here. He's here. And these people around you, they need you to be an expression. You know what? The great thing about them is they don't feel you. They don't know Mitch. They know themselves. They're having to fight their own self. But there's just something about when we get together, It's just so much easier. Can we just stand right now? He's here. It's just easier right now. You know, it doesn't take a lot of faith when he's here. We need faith. We need faith when we don't sense that he's here. But he's here. Lord, I thank you for your nearness right now. And it does affect our emotions. Because, my God, you're Jesus. And all things are possible when you're here. And Lord, my friends are here. And they have pain, and they have sickness, and they have confusion, and they have brokenness, Lord. And I can't help them. But your hand, you're here. Just right now, just enjoy him being here the best you can. And if you can't, it's okay. We're going to help you. We're at least going to take a moment and experience the kingdom together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You know, that service, just stay where you are, but where the wind was blowing and everything like that, my friend leaned over to me and he goes, what are you going to do? You going to preach? And I said, no. There's nothing I can add. We're in a room that the glory of God is flowing around us. What am I going to say? That's the goal. It's him. So that's the goal here this morning, is him. And here's what I want to do in closing. If you're sick in your body, just for the sake of time, just put your hand up. Just go ahead and put it up high. We're just going to pray real quickly. If you have a sickness, if you have something going on with your body, we want to pray. The kingdom of God is here. First service, we prayed for hearts. We prayed for loss of hearing, things like that. So it doesn't matter what it is. Just go ahead and put your hand up if you need prayer for healing this morning. If you see someone that's near you and you feel engaged enough, why don't you go ahead and put your hand on their shoulder and let's pray together. If you need prayer, keep your hand up until someone puts their hand on. And Lord Jesus, I pray you touch today. Lord, I pray you touch the hearts, Lord, that maybe there's a problem with the way it's beating, or Lord, pray that you touch, Lord, cancers, touch growths, tumors. Lord, touch. Lord, I pray for cleansing of the blood. Lord, I pray for clot issues, things like that, Lord, to be healed. Lord, I pray, Lord, just like, Lord, skin conditions, Lord, like that young man that you touched in Honduras, Lord. I just thank you for, that's how miraculous you are. Lord, I just pray for breakthrough today, Lord. Yes, breakthrough in the heart, for sure. Lord, if we wake up tomorrow just loving Jesus more than we ever have. But Lord Jesus, we pray today that the kingdom of God that we can't see would become the kingdom of God that we can see. And so, Lord, as you shift their bodies, as they are aware of you touching them, Lord, I thank you. Let the pain go away. Let the problem lift. And Lord, all I ask is that they would tell somebody Jesus did something amazing. So amen. Just go ahead and pray over these. Just pray your best prayer of healing. Just in the, speak in the name of Jesus, command healing. In a moment, we're gonna do another worship song together. And I just want you to stay focused on Jesus. And then I'm going to invite the worship team or the ministry team to come up, and they're going to be up here. And if you haven't got your breakthrough yet, or you have a need that you need prayer, you might be going through something, let's let Jesus have a shot at it. And I did have one other. I saw a picture earlier in worship of a revolving door, and I see this picture of someone. It's like you went through this door, but you ended up right back where you were. Yeah, if the ministry team wants to come up. If you feel like you're going in circles, I believe the Lord wants to do something today. So if that connects with your heart, I want you to come up and have one of our prayer team members come up. We want the prayer team to go ahead and come on up now. We're going to go into a song. If you need prayer for anything, just come up and have one of these people pray for you. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. I hope you were encouraged, built up, and strengthened by the Word of God today. I again want to encourage you, go ahead and click subscribe while you're here, and you'll be notified of content as soon as it drops, because we want to encourage you as much as you'll let us. And if you would, comment and share, because we want the people who need the message of Jesus to hear the message of Jesus. And if you're in Longview, Texas, or if you're ever visiting Longview, Texas, we'd love to host you at Pathway Church. So please come see us. Hey, I believe, again, God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it is good. And we can't wait to see all that God does through your life.